All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and today I am joined by Noah Ram from the Gainesville Sun. Noah, how are you?
Good, good, Brendan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I guess first off, what all do you do?
So I cover primarily high school sports in the Gainesville area, North Central Florida. But I also help out a little bit with UF coverage. Pretty much jack of all trades. Helping out with being a primary person for UF sports like softball, gymnastics, volleyball, women's basketball, sports of that nature, but then helping out with other UF sports on campus, including football.
No, where can people find you?
On Twitter at, or I guess X, at Noah underscore Ram one, and then also on just Gainesville.com. /sports. You can find me under the prep section or under the college section.
Yeah, so obviously with Ole Miss playing Florida, big game this weekend, I think, for both sides. Ole Miss obviously trying to keep their playoff hopes alive, and Florida getting a big win over the past weekend, trying to get another statement win. Just overall, what are your sort of impressions?
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's a fascinating game. I think Florida, obviously riding from a Florida perspective, riding high, after the win over LSU on Saturday, and they've had some big recruiting flips over the past they've had some big recruiting flips over the past few days, getting some including Tramell Jones, a quarterback who was from Mandarin High School in Jacksonville, four star. And could have even more on the horizon. So, yeah, there's a lot of, still a lot of anger with the program because it is still a 5-5 season, which a lot of Gator fans would say is under the, what's expected, what's the Gator standard. But I think at this point, definitely more excitement than there's been at any other point this season with the upset win over LSU, with the recruiting news, with the performance of DJ Lagway, and the defense getting much better as well. So we'll see. I mean, I think they understand LSU will be, excuse me, Ole Miss will be a tougher test than LSU, but they're not. But, Florida fans also think that this is a team that could, the upset is possible because this team has had a really difficult schedule and is at the current moment a lot better than its 5-5 schedule, its 5-5 record.
Yeah, 5-5, but I believe like all five are to like top 15, top 20 teams. So, I mean, it's just, record kind of lies a little bit. Some of those games, were not close. It's sort of been a tale of two teams, I think, for Florida. Well, really three because of the weird stuff going on with their quarterback position. But I do sort of feel like the narrative with Florida is that they've sort of been a totally different team for the last couple months. Third string quarterback not included. For somebody who has been there on the ground, how true is that?
Yeah, they've definitely been a completely different team. That's not a lie. That's 100% true. Not only is it true with the offense, it's also true with the defense as well. I think, talking to guys after Saturday's win, there was a lot more of a, the defense seemed to feed off of Lagway's return as well, for the LSU game. It's tough when you're starting a third string quarterback like Hayden Warner, who, couldn't get playing time at Yale. It's hard to motivate a defense when that's who's backing you, when that's who's trying to score points for you in Austin against a top five Texas team. So I think he has been able to, I think he has been able to really, revitalize the whole team and revitalize, the offense, the defense. So this is a completely different team with him under center. And I mean, they're 3-0 in games he started and finished. So, and again, those three wins have been to Samford, Kentucky, and LSU. So besides LSU, it's not like the two other wins are great wins, but, still worth something.
Yeah, I think in one way that Ole Miss and Florida are in the same boat right now is that they're both coming off, their biggest wins of the season, Florida beating LSU last weekend, and, obviously much Bigger win with Ole Miss, you know, really getting back into the playoff picture with a win over Georgia last time out, and then obviously had the bye week. But just, yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about the way, you know, those two things are kind of coming together with both teams catching each other at I guess, sort of the wrong time?
Yeah, I think I think there's, again, I think there's definitely truth to that. You know, I think it could impact today's game or Saturday's game in the sense of the motivation factor. You know, of course, this is college football. Every team's motivated. But, you know, I think you can make an argument that when LSU came into the Swamp last week, you know, they had just suffered a huge loss to Alabama, you know, and had kind of struggled, you know, and obviously the game before that had lost to Texas A&M, and they were, I mean, by the time they came in, their playoff chances were gone, and pretty much, and only really had a slim chance at an SEC title. Ole Miss, on the other hand, does have a shot at the playoff and is in a situation right now where if they win, they're in. You know, if they can beat Florida and then Mississippi State, they get into the playoff. And I think that that'll create a little bit of a different situation. Also, you consider the fact that Florida, you know, had lost five in a row to LSU. LSU's obviously, you know, rise somewhat of a rival for Florida. They've lost five in a row, including some, you know, pretty, you know, I know you know this, Brendan, being a UF alum, pretty some pretty bad losses to LSU over those years. And this was finally an opportunity to win. Florida wanted to be in a situation to be bowl eligible because obviously Florida's next game, you know, game next week's against 1-9 FSU, a game they should win. So my point is, I think this game could be a little bit in that sense, it favors Ole Miss. In that sense, Ole Miss has a lot more to play for in this game than Florida. So if Ole Miss loses, that's it. I mean, they're not getting to the playoff. But if they win, you know, again, being what were they ranked last night? 9. So they're really right on, you know, right on knife's edge right now. So I think that could sort of impact things where, yes, both teams did get a big win, but in the bigger picture, Ole Miss has a lot more to play for than Florida does.
Yeah, I should have said this at the top, but Noah and I worked together when we were at Florida together. We're both Florida alums, so maybe this is not the most. I don't know. We're being objective, but I guess I should have noted that at the top. But yeah, I will say the thing about Florida is that I do sort of buy into the narrative of they're just playing really hard. Like, you're not seeing a 5-5 team elsewhere, I think, playing as hard as Florida is. Like, they are giving some legit teams some headaches. You know, they very easily could have won that Georgia game if, you know, Lagway doesn't get hurt. And they very easily, I mean, they should have beaten Tennessee on the road earlier. And you know, that was kind of the game. I think that was the tipping point for a lot of people with Napier, because there were a lot of interesting coaching decisions in that one. But that is sort of the thing, though, is I do sort of feel like it is a little bit different now than it was at the beginning of the year. Like, I watched them play Mississippi State back in, what, September?
Yeah, that one was week 4, I believe. Yeah,
I think it was 5, but regardless.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it was like, okay, look, I mean, the offense looks great because they're playing State, and State's defense is just ungodly bad. But I mean, their defense was just awful. And it was one of those things where it was like, you know, I think they won like 45-30 or something nuts.
Right.
But it was like, something still doesn't quite feel right. You know, it's one of those games where it was like, if they had played anybody else in the SEC with that effort, I don't know if that would have ended well.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, I think the defense is sort of the big thing that's come around.
Yeah. And I think, so, you know, sorry to interject, but I think that.
No, you're good.
It's interesting you mentioned that Mississippi State game. I think that was really I don't want to call it the turning point, but I think that was an eye-opening performance because they won that game. You know, that was what brought them to 2-2. It was only Billy Napier's third SEC road win in 3 seasons, you know, as Florida coach. And it's the only one he'll get this season because they don't have any more SEC road games this year. But, you know, it was an ugly game watching that because, you know, yes, Florida was moving down the field, and the combination at that time, it was Mertz and Graham Mertz and DJ Lagway both playing quarterback, and they were moving up and down the field, but so was Mississippi State. And I think a lot of Florida fans are like, this is Mississippi State, the, you know, on paper, at least, especially at the time, the worst team in the SEC. And they're moving up and down the field. And it was actually that they had a bye week after the Mississippi State game before they played UCF the first week of before they played UCF the first week of October. And during that week is when things changed for the defense and when the schemes that the team was doing, you know, players had suggested to sort of simplify the schemes. And the coaches had, you know, acquiesced. And since then, I mean, Texas game, you know, withstanding, the defense has looked great. I mean, the only game they've allowed, I believe, more than 24 points since that Mississippi State game was to Georgia. Again, not getting the Texas game when Lagway didn't play. And even in that Georgia game, there was a garbage time touchdown in there. They, you know, they intercepted Carson Beck three times, who, you know, a lot of people thought was going to be a high draft pick, even though this season, as Ole Miss fans know, watching him against the Rebels, Carson Beck is not, I think, what a lot of people thought he would be. But point is, the defense has looked a lot better. And I think that it's, you know, that to me is really the big reason. Yes, Lagway being there helps. You know, yes, he, you know, is a great player, makes some great throws. But ultimately, last season when they went 5-7, and Graham Mertz was starting quarterback, their offense had a lot of great games, you know. But it was the defense that failed them. I mean, they lost. They gave up 52 last year to LSU. They lost. They gave up 30-plus to Missouri in a game they lost. They gave up 30-plus to Arkansas in a game they lost. Like, the defense was really the problem on this team, you know, the past few years. And now it seems like it's maybe finally turned the corner and, you know, continue to get better because they got a lot of young talent on that defense. So a lot of guys in that defense, you know, theoretically will continue to get better and better. So yes, to answer your question, yeah, the defense has really been to me, the big reason for the turnaround.
Well, to me, one of the matchups I'm curious about, and there are actually a ton of them from this game, but I'm interested to see how much of the Florida pass rush from last week is real. You know, Garrett Nussmeier from LSU has been one of the most, like, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the country at evading sacks. He had only taken six heading into last week, and Florida got him seven times. I know part of it was, like, it looked like he was a bit banged up during that game, but you know, I mean, Ole Miss is, you know, maybe the best pass rush in the country, and they didn't get him at all.
Right.
So I'm interested to see, you know, especially with some of the struggles that Ole Miss had in pass protection earlier in the year, I'm interested to see if any of that carries over.
Yeah. I think that was such a weird aspect of the games. It's also not like Florida's pass rush is that stout either. Again, they've been getting better. You know, they've been, you know, doing a good job. They're certainly at this point probably the best unit of Florida's defense because the Florida secondary, you know, is really banged up, as you know, as I'm sure you know. So the pass rush is their best part of their defense. But I mean, the sack Nussmeier, I think, seven times after LSU only allowed six sacks all season, was really something. I think that was really something. And you know, I think him being banged up was a factor. It was very unlike Nussmeier in the sense that he held onto the ball for a long time, which again, he was not doing, as you said, in a lot of games earlier this season. I think, you know, tough atmosphere too, compared to, for example, the Ole Miss game, which was in Death Valley. This game was on the road. Now, they had played in Texas A&M. They played in tough atmosphere this year, LSU has. But I think this game was a little bit, you know, it was a good crowd at Saturday. And I think that could, you know, that might have impacted him as well. But yeah, I still don't really know what to make of that, just how they were able to pressure him so, you know, so well. Because again, it was not, at the moment, part of me still wants to say it was just more of like an aberration, just that, you know, yes, Florida has a good pass rush, but I don't think Ole Miss fans have to worry about Florida, you know, sacking, you know, Jackson seven times. I don't think that that's going to happen again. I don't think it's a performance that could be replicated.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was some younger guys leveling up or what.
Right. And it is. But again, I mean, seven sacks is pretty hard for any team in the country to do. But yes, the young guys are getting better. That is definitely true.
And I think the other key matchup here is, you mentioned Florida's got a banged up secondary. Ole Miss is getting back, from what it sounds like, they're getting back Trey Harris this week. You know, obviously, you know, one of the top wide receivers in the country. You have to play with the parameters a little bit, but just because he's been limited in playing time this year. But in the limited sample that we have of Trey Harris, he's averaging 5.25 yards per route run, which is by far and away the best out of like any college wide receiver. Like I believe second place is like 3.6.
Right.
Though Florida's Elijah Badger is like fourth at 3.54, by the way.
Yeah.
So how on earth is a banged up Florida secondary going to deal with that?
Praying.
So they're
no,
not.
yeah, it'll be tough. And I think that's the fear of a lot of Gator fans. That's the one, you know, the secondary group got really beat up in the Georgia game. The Georgia game became like a kiss of death game for Florida. At least we thought it was, and then they did beat LSU. But, you know, that was the game. Lagway got hurt. They had other injuries on offense. And then, you know, their top two cornerbacks went out in that game. So, you know, in Texas, we saw Texas beat them up like crazy. You know, and Quinn Ewers really marched up and down the field on them. And again, LSU, because the pass rush was so good, it didn't matter. But I think that is an issue for a lot of Florida fans, you know, especially with Trey coming back for that game. Like it's an issue, and they've made it work. You know, guys have stepped up. I'm not going to say it's not possible, because again, it is a home game for Florida, you know, and I think that does make a difference. Also a noon start. And as you know, noon starts are always a little wonky, you know, so, but yeah, it's hard to see a world right now where at the very least Ole Miss is not going to be able to move the ball more than LSU did. I think that much is undoubtedly true. It will not. Ole Miss, I do not think, will be held to 16 points like LSU was. Now, of course, the benefit for Florida is DJ Lagway has another week to get healthy. And, you know, maybe LSU's defense was a little bit tougher to score on than Ole Miss's defense will be. But, you know, this will probably be the game where Florida's defense gets exposed a little bit. Not that I do not think, I mean, if this was Florida's defense in the first 3 weeks, LSU would maybe be able to hang 60 on them. That's not going to happen. Florida's defense is a lot better than it had been, but that secondary is very leaky. And I think Ole Miss is the type of team that could really take advantage of that, you know, of that situation.
Yeah, no, first, you know, couple of weeks of the season, you know, it was pretty much Florida's opponents could pick a number and just do that, but yeah. And put it up on the scoreboard. But I'm really interested to see how Trey Harris's return changes things up for Ole Miss, because I mean, in seven games, they targeted him 74 times. I mean, he is insanely productive, but he's also targeted a bunch. But when he was out, they did such a good job of spreading targets around that I'm really interested to see how those two sort of dichotomies kind of come together. So between that and Lane Kiffin and his staff calling plays, it just seems like a really awful matchup for Florida.
Yeah. On paper it does, but I mean, you know, Florida again has been, you know, the defense has surprised. So again, they shut down Georgia pretty well in Knoxville. You know, the game that, you know, a lot of Florida fans think they should have won. You know, they shut down Tennessee pretty well. And I mean, again, to me, you know, obviously someone who doesn't, you know, obviously don't cover Ole Miss full time. But for me, I mean, you know, you look at their point totals, and it's not Arkansas game, but notwithstanding, you know, not counting the Arkansas game, you know, the scoring has been lower since, like, you know, since SEC play has begun. You know, and that's not to say obviously that this offense isn't very capable, but I feel like this is, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like this is not the offense that we were seeing the first few weeks during that non-conference schedule when they're just putting up 60 on whoever they want.
Yeah, it's been a little touch and go during conference play, but I think people are feeling a lot better about it. I mean, really, the Arkansas game was a pretty big turning point, I think, for a lot of people.
Right.
So I want to talk to you some about DJ Lagway, because I think Ole Miss is a pretty solid favorite in this game. I don't know if I would throw the word heavy around, but I would definitely, solid seems like a good word.
Yeah.
And to me, the way that Florida wins is a DJ Lagway going nuclear. And the more I dig into the numbers on Lagway, the more he's just a very interesting quarterback to watch and dig up numbers on.
Yeah.
Because he's thrown 14 big time throws, and like the percentage of that is like, you know, he hasn't thrown the ball that much. So I think he's got like one of the highest big time throw percentages in the country, if not the highest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's also thrown five interceptions. He's got five turnover worthy plays. And also his average depth of target is like 12 yards. You know, so I mean, he's just hucking the ball downfield every play. I don't want to say, I know that like Florida fans will hate the comparison, but it is very Anthony Richardson-y of
we are
doing nothing but threes.
I was gonna say it's a lot. I was gonna say, I mean, I think he's better than Anthony Richardson. You know, I don't want to say better because Anthony Richardson obviously had very good years last year in college. I was going to compare more to Anthony Richardson right now in, the Colts, which is just like, you know, you watch the Colts now and, you know, like their game against the Jets on Sunday, and Anthony Richardson will miss 5-yard passes that any quarterback in the, you know, any quarterback that Zach Wilson could make. But then, you know, he'll throw a 50-yard pass downfield on the run. And I think DJ Lagway, he's a little bit more consistent than that. But I mean, he had, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, the, you know, turnover worthy plays, because he had, you know, multiple passes against LSU that should have been picked off that the Tigers just couldn't get. But then he also had some passes, you know, he had a pass that, you know, I think Florida, you know, any Florida fan, you know, listening would know this, where they had the ball. It was in the, you know, in the fourth, you know, they had the ball against LSU. They had it, you know, around like LSU's 40-yard line. He was scrambling around the pocket. And again, this is him on a, you know, we're still injured, still hobbled, scrambling around the pocket, runs forward, and then basically delivers a perfect pass to Badger, to Elijah Badger, then got tackled the one, and then they scored the next play. But, you know, it's mesmerizing, honestly. And I think, you know, the way I look at it is, this is someone who's doing these things. Yes, he's still inconsistent, but he's doing these things as a freshman. And again, was injured last week and couldn't run, which is probably his biggest, you know, his biggest X factor is just his ability to run. So I think that the fact that he did what he did against LSU, again, first year, literally a true freshman, a year ago, this guy was playing high school ball, true freshman, injured. I mean, the sky's the limit. And I think he really is someone that could, you know, has the potential, and this is not a hyperbole to say, to be Florida's best quarterback, you know, since Tim Tebow. You know, I don't think that's an exaggeration. Like, you know, of course they've had good ones, Kyle Trask, obviously, and even Richardson that one year. But, you know, again, the sky really is the limit for what he could look like a year from now or 2 years from now.
Yeah, I think Lagway just brings such a threat downfield. Again, his average depth of target is 12.4 yards. He's going to throw the ball downfield. That was, I think, my problem when I was watching the Gators when they had Mertz back there, was a lot of times it was just like panic. All right, check down, live to fight for another day. I don't think DJ Lagway believes in check downs.
No. That was the funny part, was they got the ball against, I think there was, when did they get the ball? I think there was 4 minutes left and they were up 20-16 against LSU. And we were like talking about, like, is this offense even capable of running a 4-minute offense? Like, I don't think they are. Like, I literally, and wouldn't you know, it wasn't because of him, it was Jaden Ball, the running back. But Jaden Ball breaks one for what, I think 55 yards, and they get a touchdown, you know, less than a minute into the drive. So no, this, he's not capable, you know, of doing short passes, of check downs. I don't think this offense is capable of long, slow drives now. That was an issue against LSU. They lost the time of possession battle 42-18. So that offensive approach does have its downsides, but certainly lends itself to pretty interesting and exciting football.
Yeah, no, LSU last week had one of the weirdest stat lines I've ever seen, where, again, not as you mentioned, they dominated the time of possession and lost by double digits, but also they went, 13 for 24 on third downs. And it was like, you know, I thought Florida did a really good job on early downs last week, but a lot of those third downs were like third and eight, third and nine, third and 10. And it was like, I don't know whether to be happy that, you know, they finally pieced together something on early downs, or, you know, just pull my hair out because they can't get off the field. I mean, it's great that you forced 24 third downs, but, you know, also, why did the other team have 24 third downs?
Right. And I also think, exactly. And I also led to another stat that was very odd, which is that LSU literally doubled the amount of plays that Florida did. LSU had over 90 plays in that game. And still only put up 16 points, which I think, again, is another reason why you do have some Florida fans, especially ones that are more critical and want Billy Napier fired, who are like, LSU lost that game more than Florida won that game. That is, I think some Florida fans really feel that way, or maybe not. In that harsh, but you know that game was there for the taking for LSU, but they had drives fizzle out. You know, kicking field goals when you know maybe they could have gotten touchdowns. You know, turnover on downs. You know, just not really moving the ball at a very efficient pace. So again, that again leads to this thing where if you have an offense like LA, like Ole Miss's, it's still a defense that had while injured can be, you know, was asking for, you know, potentially for, you know, some points to be scored on them.
Yeah. And one thing I feel like I should note about Lagway is recently I had a chart go pretty nuts on Ole Miss Twitter about Ole Miss's pass rushers. And I mean, right. Ole Miss's pass rushers are ridiculous. It doesn't matter if it's edge guys, interior guys, they are going to win up front. I don't think Florida did a particularly great job of dealing with pressure last week or protecting Lagway. And that's going to be a huge problem because I'm just assuming that it's going to be like last week and that Lagway can't run.
Right. Yeah. That I think is a pretty safe assumption. Now, you know, he does have an extra week. But it was a pretty serious hamstring injury that he got during the Georgia game. I mean, it looked like something that I think if you were to ask, you know, everyone who was at Everbank Field, Everbank Stadium, whatever they're calling that place in Jacksonville these days, they would say that,
but okay.
They would say that was a season-ending injury right there. And the fact that he was back 2 weeks later, I think is really something. And, you know, credit to him for working through it. But yeah, this is not going to be the same guy like against Kentucky who was running up and down the field. You know, again, he'll be a little bit better than he was against LSU, but no, the scrambling ability will be, you know, should be pretty neutralized. And that is an issue because, again, they weren't terrible against LSU's line, but, you know, definitely wasn't giving him, you know, a ton of time. And even in the run game, I know LSU has a pretty good run defense as well, Ole Miss has a pretty good run defense as well. You know, that would have been, you know, taking out Jaden Ball's run at the end of the game, they struggled at times too to get yards. So, again, it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the offensive line can deal with, you know, with Ole Miss's front.
Let me ask you, because I felt like a little bit of a genius for figuring this out last weekend. Have you noticed that Florida, if they throw an incomplete pass on first down and they get into the pistol formation, they will run it like 100% of the time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I just don't think I just don't think you can get away with that against Ole Miss's defense. Like, it's infuriating.
Yeah. Billy Napier is still very flawed. Yeah, especially Billy Napier, the play caller, is still a very, very, very flawed coach. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's that's, you know, I'm not gonna take away the genius label, but I also don't think you're the first person who's watched Florida football who's realized that. You know, and that's a problem because it does lead itself to a lot of third and longs, and you know, and I don't think, you know, Florida found itself in a lot of situations like that. And yes, DJ has been able to do a good job. I mean, it's a lot better than when Graham Mertz is the quarterback, because when Graham Mertz is the quarterback and you're in a third and 12, may as well punt on third down.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you weren't getting the first down because, you know, Mertz usually would do a check down and they'd gain 2 yards on a screen and then have to punt. But Lagway brings a different dimension, but ultimately, yeah, against an Ole Miss defense like that, you're not going to convert many third and longs like that. You're not going to do what LSU did against them last week. So yeah, that is an issue. And I mean, I'd like to say that Napier will cook up something different, but it's also been 3 years of this now. So it's hard to really have a whole lot of faith that that's going to change.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just funny. I mean, it's like, it's also always like something between the tackles too. It's like, okay, throw an incomplete pass on first down. Yep. Run between the tackles on second. It's like, how do you get away with that? Anyway, the answer is that you don't. But
yes.
One last thing I want to notice. I talked about Badger a little bit. It seems to me like Florida's got a pretty deep pool of playmakers, and it seems like they're all like freshmen or sophomores other than Badger. You know, just like, you know, what all have you seen from Florida's, you know, wideouts, receivers, skill positions?
Yeah, I think you're hit the nail on the head talking about just that they kind of are all freshmen, seem to come out of nowhere. I think a lot of Florida fans were worried about the skill, you know, the skill positions this year. And I think even despite that, if you were to ask them, okay, who's the two guys you can count on, would be Trey Wilson, who, you know, sophomore season had a pretty good freshman year. A lot of, you know, a quarterback that especially would, we thought would work well with DJ because he's a very explosive play receiver. And then Montrell Johnson, who had running back, who split time with, you know, with Trevor Etienne last year before Etienne transferred to Georgia. Turns out, you know, Trey Wilson only played four games and right now is probably going to redshirt this year. He's out for the season. And Montrell Johnson really has had not a big role in the offense. You know, he was injured a few games. He came back against, you know, LSU Saturday, and maybe he's still dealing with injury, but he doesn't really seem to be involved in the offense anymore. So, you know, but, you know, that being said, you know, Elijah Badger has really stepped up, kind of come out of nowhere. Shamir DK, who was a Wisconsin transfer, who we thought would work really well with Mertz. He did work really well with Mertz because they played together at Wisconsin. Still has worked well with Lagway. You know, Aiden Mizell has had some big catches. You know, so the receiving core is, I think, a lot better than people expected given, you know, their inexperience than the running backs. I mean, Jaden Baugh, he's part of that freshman class that, you know, was so, you know, got a, you know, that was so good for Florida, but he wasn't one of the top freshmen. He wasn't DJ Lagway coming in. But I mean, you watch him and he is just as explosive. He's another guy like Lagway who could really be a good running back in a couple of years. You know, and I mean, that 55-yard run, that touchdown that he got, really was just remarkable. And then, you know, Jacoby Jackson is also getting carries at running back, and he was, you know, a JUCO transfer. You know, this really is unexpected. I think that's something that Napier and his staff do deserve credit for, is that, you know, they have managed to turn an offense that already seemed weak on skill position guys. Then you lose your top two, or at least who seemed like your top two for much of the season, and the offense still looks, you know, just as good. Now, obviously, again, EJ deserves a lot of credit for that. You know, probably deserves most of the credit for that, but they're still making good plays, and especially him and Badger really seem to have this chemistry and this connection. And I think for Ole Miss fans, that's something they have to worry about, is just how the two of them can work. Because I mean, I keep thinking about, last thing I'll say, I keep thinking about the Kentucky game, where I think DJ threw for, might have been almost 300 yards on 7 pick completions. He averaged like 30 yards a pass. And Mark Stoops, Kentucky's coach, is asked about during the game or after the game. And he like couldn't believe, I don't think he'd ever seen that before in his life. A quarterback averaged that many yards per pass. Now, of course, that's not sustainable. You don't in the long term want your quarterback only completing 7 passes, but it's remarkable. And I think there might be some Ole Miss fans who just look at that during Saturday's game and just can't believe that, you know, that he's putting up numbers like that, you know, on such few completions.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of a sore spot given the loss to Kentucky earlier in the year. But yeah, yeah, 7 for 14 for 259 yards. Can't say I've ever seen that before.
Mark Stoops had not either. So you're not alone.
But yeah, some of the DJ Lagway highlights are just nuts. So I really think that he's pretty much going to have to be great in order for Florida to win this one. But I do think it's an interesting test for Ole Miss's defense, because it's a young quarterback with, you know, the ceiling does not exist for Lagway. It is infinite, right? Young quarterback, very raw still, you know, still like ahead of where I think, you know, pretty much every true freshman quarterback is. But, you know, right, at the college, in terms of the college level, still raw, but all the talent in the world, and you just don't have that much film on him. He's thrown 118 passes, you know. And you also don't know, you know, the full extent of his abilities this weekend. So it's an interesting test. I still think Ole Miss probably wins this by, like, you know, 10. Maybe they get, you know, another touchdown at the end. But I don't think this is a game like next week where I think they can just waltz into the Egg Bowl and just do whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Florida's a pretty decent team, I think. But we will see how this turns out.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to see. I mean, because, yeah, they were on bye last week, Ole Miss. This is going to be their first game since the Kentucky win. And they're, you know, I mentioned the motivation factor earlier, but this is also, Craig, if I'm wrong, Brendan, but probably the first game they played this year with real pressure, you know, where it's not
the Georgia game.
Georgia game, true, but
that was,
like
that was basically
nowhere.
an elimination game. So
Right. But they're not, you know, but they weren't, you know, they're now not the plucky underdog anymore, you know, with the somewhat oddball coach and, you know, trying to, you know, potentially, you know, upend the party. Like, they're in the party right now. They've been invited. It's just a matter, you know, if they can keep it that way. And I think Florida, again, Florida's riding high. So I think Ole Miss needs to be careful. I think if Ole Miss treats Florida and treats them more better than a 5-5 team, they shouldn't have any issue. But if they just come into the swamp and think, oh yeah, 5-5 team, this is going to be nothing. If they have the mentality that they might have in the Egg Bowl, then Florida has a real shot in this game.
But in addition to some of the really bad matchups for Florida's defense, Lane Kiffin with an extra week to prep is not fun. But
No, that is true. Yeah, that's very true.
anyway, we're going to wrap up here. You can find Noah on Twitter at Noah_Ram1. You can also find his coverage at Gainesville.com, right?
Yep, that's correct.
You can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. You can find all of our Ole Miss coverage at djournal.com or on Twitter at djournalsports. Noah, thanks a lot for joining me.
Of
Appreciate
course.
it.
Thanks,
Appreciate
Brandon.
it.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem, man. Take care.
See you. Thank you.